Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson. Pete, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. We're still in the middle of a big old lockdown. We're under siege by the old COVID. The South Africa and UK variants are hitting us quite hard. So, anyone listening in the UK, hope this rubbish little podcast applies some salve to a miserable month in some small way.
How dare you, rubbish little podcast.
I'm starting the podcast.
We've gone from strength to strength. We've been doing this, 2 years now? I don't even remember when we started.
I know, right?
2018. Oh, 3 years. Yeah. Crikey, it'll be 3 years soon.
And it's cricket.
It's going all right,
isn't it? I don't speak to my parents every week.
It's quite surreal travelling around Japan, and either I'm in my apartment like I am today, or I'm in like a hotel room in Tokyo in a corner somewhere still having this chat with you. It's nice. It's fun to kind of hear what's going on and share stories. And I come to you this week with some good news, Pete. I have been to the gym for the first time this year and the first time in 9 months, and I feel pretty damn fit. This is a whole new
gym. So the gyms are open in Japan, presumably, so you can, you know, do your thing.
It's been open since June last year. So basically, I joined the gym in March 2020. I got into it. I was loving it. April 2020, I then stopped because it shut down because of COVID for like 2 months. It reopened, and then you had to wear face masks inside, which seems pretty reasonable. But at the same time, I felt like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to run with a face mask on, especially as an asthmatic. That's a fast track to just passing out or having an asthma attack. So I held off. But I couldn't wait anymore. I've put on a little bit of weight. I'm 85 kilograms now, back where I was a year ago. I went down to like 81 kilograms at my peak in 2020 before it went wrong over the Christmas season. I went for a nice run. The mask wasn't an issue. I got a mask that's quite good for running. To be honest, I don't even know if it's a real mask. It's quite weird. It's like a sports mask, but it basically means it's very porous, and I don't know. It still says it's medically certified, though, so I'd like to clear myself there of any wrongdoing. But no, I feel fit. I did some chest workouts, did my upper body, did some running for 20 minutes, and I feel good. I felt really good the last 2 days. My muscles are aching. But there's something about working out that unleashes this, I don't know, energy. Endorphins, isn't it? It's all about endorphins.
Yeah, you don't have to take that long. 25 minutes, half an hour on the weights, and whatever else on the old running machines or whatever. If your knees can take it, mine frequently can't. I used to love going to the gym. I mean, I let's make it very clear, I don't anymore.
I think you should get an exercise bike. If you're going to be indoors, might as well get one or a treadmill. Mm. You can watch Abroad in Japan while you jog.
What if it hurts my bum?
It's not going to do that. It's going to be fun. Get a treadmill and a bike. But I feel rather good about it. So I'm going to try and keep that up. So this is a new me. You're going to see a whole new Abroad in Japan in the coming weeks. The weight's going to magically drop away. It's going to be wonderful. You mark my words, Pete.
Are you,
how, Yeah, go on.
Are you coming back after the gym and then eating what you want, or drinking a lot of coffee like you do quite late in the day?
Coffee is not calorific, is it? So I think drinking coffee is all right.
I mean, yeah, but that canned stuff has a lot of sugar in, doesn't it?
I don't drink canned coffee. I'm a man of I'm a great person. I drink Nespresso.
I'm a great person.
I'm a great person.
Nespresso. I'm a great person. I drink Nespresso. Oh, good. Fancy Dan over here.
It sounds like the crappiest marketing, the crappiest commercial for Nespresso. I'm a great man. I drink Nespresso.
That's the Japanese version of that George Clooney one. That's why it gets subtitled as some weird sort of Japanese English. I'm a great man. I drink Nespresso.
it's never going to be as good as Tommy Lee Jones, though, with his Boss Coffee. It's never going to quite beat that.
Good point.
Nothing can beat that, except maybe this story of the week from Scott. This week we've got one from Scott, who has a story about a honeymoon. A proposal that didn't quite go according to plan. And it begins, "Hey Chris and Pete, only recently discovered the podcast, but I started watching the YouTube channel last year before my trip to Tokyo. My girlfriend and I flew to Tokyo on New Year's Day 2020 for 2 weeks. We'd been planning the trip for a year, but little did she know I'd also been planning to propose to her when we got there. She'd always said that if someone proposed to her in a crowded place, she'd hate it, having that many people around. So I had to try and work out a quiet place to do it. But unfortunately, quiet spots were a bit few and far between in Tokyo. The plan was to travel through to Kyoto for 2 nights and either propose by the river or propose in Gion, the geisha district. On night 2 in Kyoto, we went for dinner. While I sat nervously pinching myself for the eventual proposal. After dinner, I suggested we go for a walk to get her to the intended romantic spot. But she said, oh, I'm too tired. I tried my best, but she wasn't having it, and my plan was ruined. Oh, dear. Now, having to call something on the fly, I basically had to walk around Japan with an engagement ring in my pocket until a good, quiet opportunity presented itself. This sounds like a great short film. Just trying to find somewhere to propose with a ring in your pocket. A few nights later, we had spent the night in Rock Bar Mother in Kabukicho before wandering back home with a bag of Wendy's cheeseburgers. Delicious choice. We turned a corner onto an empty street and my mind thought, this is it. Before I knew it, I was down on one knee proposing. And thankfully, she said yes. After the initial joy, she turned to me and said, I just realised you tried to do this in Kyoto, didn't you? It's all right, though. After all my planning, I'd asked the biggest question of my life outside of a Lawson's while she held a big bag of cheeseburgers and Asahi beer. Also, I wanted to ask a quick question. I'm a producer for a professional wrestling company, and we went to the Tokyo Dome on my trip to for the New Japan January 4th and 5th Wrestle Kingdom shows. With this year's shows less than a week away, have you been to any of the New Japan shows or any other Japanese wrestling events in your time there? Thank you, Scott. First things first.
That makes me laugh so much because it's a lovely story about you know, getting engaged to the woman you love, and then have you been in New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom at the end?
Well, I think if that story teaches us one thing, ladies and gentlemen, it's that Scott does not play by the rules proposing. To be fair, I quite like Wendy's burgers. I like Wendy's, the Baconator. Mm. You can't beat it. Yeah. And so I feel like if someone's going to propose to me, I would love to do it while holding Wendy's. I could think of worse ways to go. Though I was in Gion District just 3 weeks ago in Kyoto, and it is a magical spot. And it is a shame you weren't able to pull it off there. But then how can you really coerce your sort of girlfriend into going down to this romantic spot? How would you have done it, Pete? Just been like, come on, do it. It's this way to our hotel room.
I've lost my wallet. The scoundrel who took my wallet has gone that way.
In Gion, the geisha stole it. Got to go there.
Yeah, geisha stole my wallet.
Thank God. On the subject of wrestling, though, I don't know the first thing about wrestling. Pete, fill us in. You're a pro.
I have watched one Wrestle Kingdom show. It was New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom 11, I believe, and it was one of those kind of shows that really launched Japanese wrestling into the mainstream as much as wrestling is it can be mainstream. And New Japan stuff is incredible. Their website is horrific to work with, like a lot of Japanese websites, but it's well worth a watch. And I think Wrestle Kingdom's happening at the moment. Obviously you can have people watching stuff in Japan because they've got quite draconian COVID situation. But I did go and see I went to see a new Japan. I think it was Best of the Super Juniors, I'm sure, back in the day, and I enjoyed it immensely. And I would very much like to see more.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. I mean, I'd quite like to see it. My friend Sean in Osaka, he follows it closely, and he's always posting videos and photos. And they seem to be very good at acting and doing these wrestling kind of performances. There's a real kind of theatricality to it that seems pretty impressive. So next time you're over, let's do it. Let's pop down to Osaka or Tokyo and give it a whirl. Make a video.
Definitely.
We've got, following on from that story, we've got another kind of story. It involves Japanglish, when English goes wrong in Japan. And this time it's from a guy called Benjamin. He says, "Hey guys, I thought you'd appreciate this toy that came for my nephew over Christmas." And it's kind of like a wooden doll. A bit like the old Russian dolls, you know, the sort of Russian wooden doll. But it looks a little bit tackier than that. I think it's some sort of traditional Japanese doll. And it literally just says in English, "small, a wooden man." And it's a Daruma doll. But on the back of this package for this traditional Japanese doll, it has some extensive English, and it's all gone horribly wrong. And it feels kind of at odds with this sort of child, kid-friendly aim I'm sure the makers had in mind. But it says, "Beat to death a group of heroes from around the world. They maintain world peace. They come." This is a particularly fun parent-child activity toy. This is a group of returning heroes. Will bring your child happy. A detailed video demonstration, teaching instructions above. Sweep the yard or watch a video teaching. I wish you happy. And that's just the back of it. And they've got another bit of text on the side. The complete set of products include the life of the wooden magic effect description. The small wooden man cannot be broken to kill the cute little wood. This is, God, what has gone wrong here? This is an interesting and unique magic trick combined with traditional Japanese toys. It acts as if the audience are watching cartoons. Even if it were knocked down and collapsed, it would magically return to its original state. I mean, how did so much assaulted. Go so wrong? You feel insulted.
That language. I feel assaulted by that language. I just don't know what the hell is going on. Fantastic, though. Like, it's just the... It's just that you can kind of see what they're sort of going for. Presumably you have to knock the bottom.
Can you though?
Like the bottom. So the sweep the yard, the hammer is used to sweep the bottom peg of the Druidor so it drops down one level. Is that right? I mean, are you knocking individual bits of wood off the smaller wooden man?
The doll comes in five parts, right, with the head on top. And the idea is you have a little hammer, and you use the hammer to knock out a piece of the doll at the bottom, so it sort of falls down. A bit like that table trick when someone pulls the tablecloth off, right? It's a bit like that. So you knock it down. The idea Jenga. Being that, yeah, like Jenga, but the doll won't fall over. But I just – there's so much that has gone wrong here. I love the way it's a beat to death, a group of heroes. Beat to death. So graphic for a child's toy.
Wonderful.
So
love
violent.
It looks. It looks. I mean, it's made in China, so you imagine it was a Chinese description rather than Japanese. Maybe I don't really know, to be honest, but it seems very, very tortured.
But it might one be, of the but best then it is a. Of, it's a Japanese designed really, product, so they might have done it in Japan and then just had it made in China. Either way,
it's incredible, isn't it?
Disaster, absolute disaster.
Very enjoyable.
So we turn our turn. I turn now to the news of the week. And in recent years, we kick off each year with a story of someone buying a ridiculously expensive tuna. And last year, I think the year before last, tuna. Yeah, the guy Kiyoshi Kimura, who is the owner of my favourite sushi chain, Sushi Zanmai, which I've got to take you to the next time you're here, Pete. They call him the Tuna King. He's this very large, jovial man. He's very happy. He's always surrounded by attractive staff with a sword in his hand as he cuts the tuna. But every year, he bids on the most expensive tuna. And it's a kind of New Year's ceremony, right? You get this, the biggest tuna you can find. It's caught in the sea in between Hokkaido and Honshu, the Sugaru Strait. And I actually did a video there with Ryota a few years ago, which you can check it out. But this, the fish there is so good quality, such good quality. This bluefin tuna. It is rare to come by. And last year, Kiyoshi Kimura spent $2 million on a 276-kilogram bluefin tuna. And then a year before that, in 2019, he spent $3.1 million on a 278-kilogram tuna, which is very excessive. But also a great publicity stunt, because all the media of Japan will round on you and sort of follow you around, and it's great publicity. But this year, far from having the record setting, having that record set once again by Kiyoshi Kimura, he kind of didn't, he held back from bidding. And the most expensive tuna went for a pitiful, I say pitiful, it went for $200,000 for a 200 kilogram tuna. So a bit smaller than usual, but a heck of a lot less. And apparently the reason is Kiyoshi Kimura decided, I didn't go for the highest bid, he says, this year, because this is the first time I wanted to have some self-control. I didn't think it was appropriate to go all festive this time. The idea being that so many restaurants and so many businesses have suffered throughout the pandemic, it wouldn't have set a great precedent to blow spectacular sums of money on a fish, which is probably a good PR strategy to embrace.
But it's amazing. I think his second plan was to buy the tuna for a pitiful amount and then throw on a police car like Logan Paul.
Oh God!
Just as much PR spotlight. So I guess yeah. There's two ways of looking at it. You can sort of look at it as like the canary in the mine. Sort of going, oh my God! For the first time ever, this tuna maniac has not dropped a you know a million on a bottle of Dom P in the tuna world. But he's kind of instead he's kind of kept his powder dry because it would be distasteful to show off money at a time. I kind of get it, but then I also sort of go, ooh, it's kind of like the portents of the apocalypse, really, isn't it? No tuna for big man.
You know times are bad when the tuna king won't splash out big on his tuna.
Yeah.
It's a bit like reminds me of the skyscraper index. I remember reading how you could often predict when there was going to be a downturn or the economy was going to go down by the number of skyscrapers being built in like mainland China and the US. And this is the same thing, isn't it?
I imagine tuna man.
The Japanese stock market plunged when they discovered the tuna king wasn't splashing out more than $1 million on his bloody tuna.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's become like a weird tradition to sort of switch on the news in the first week of January and see, you know, an excessive, stupid amount of money being blown on a fish. And without that, I feel a bit sad. Feel a bit sad about that.
Daddy Warbucks. Daddy Tuna Bucks.
Daddy Kimura. You've got to find a photo of him, though. He's such a great man. Just watch the video I made with Ryotaro. I think we called it Japan's $3.1 million tuna. And it's quite a fun video, actually. We see the tuna being caught. They use this one-rod method. Because, obviously, the fish are not doing well in terms of stocks, they've had to cut down the amount of tuna they fish these days, and they just use a singular fishing rod these days, as opposed to like a big net they just throw in the sea. And they use these rods to pull out the fish. It's quite a sight to behold. But they all come from there. All the biggest, best, most delicious tuna come from the Sugaru Strait. So, but it's quite hard to get to. Very difficult to get to. But second news of the week is a survey has ranked the dream jobs for Japanese elementary school students around the nation. We've discovered the top five most popular professions that elementary students want to do. I feel it's a little bit premature because I certainly didn't know what I wanted to do when I was an elementary school student. Did you know what you wanted to do at the time, Pete, back then when you were a kid?
No. I think I was probably at the time, I probably wanted to be on a video game shop.
Monkey zoo. Didn't you want to work at a monkey zoo?
Yeah, monkey zoo. Little monkey zoo.
Which you did. You did.
I did, eventually.
But then you gave it up. You gave up your work,
dreams, guys.
Gave it up for fame. They interviewed 600 boys and 600 girls from grades 1 through to 6 to find the top results. And here they are, ranked from 5th to 1st place. 5th place, tied with 4th place, or there's two 5th places, they're tied, is Doctor, followed by daycare or kindergarten teacher. In 4th place is YouTuber or Twitch streamer, which interestingly is a little bit higher for high school students. That's typically like 2nd or 3rd place because it's such a popular job to have. 3rd place is pro soccer player, 2nd place police officer, and the 1st place, which I can't quite understand, is pastry chef. Baking bread. That's pretty random, isn't it? Where did that come from? Is there a children's TV show where there's like a baker and all the kids are watching it and want to be a baker? What are your theories?
Yeah, I mean, the smell is very delicious. I mean, it has to be said.
It is good.
I mean, like, patisserie, it would be very, it wouldn't be like difficult sourdough loaves. It would be very much the chocolate end of the patisserie world, you would imagine. Melon pan. Yeah, exactly.
Melon bread.
Exactly.
I can't stand it. I still can't eat the stuff. But I don't know how I feel about that. That people would rather be a pastry chef over a YouTuber. I don't know. Maybe there is something nice about baking bread. I wouldn't know. I can't bake anything, but I'd like to try. 2nd place police officer. 3rd place pro soccer player. I guess you fall under that category as well, Pete. Did you want to be a pro soccer player? Are you a pro soccer player now?
No, I was very much a man who played a lot of football too late to be even considered part. Like, I loved football so much from a very late age, so I missed the opportunity for getting involved. Chris could have been a contender, except I couldn't. I'm dreadful at it. I've been trying for 20 years to get better, and I'm not. I just don't have that killer instinct.
And yet you are the presenter of the biggest football podcast on the planet. You are the face of football. And you can't play it professionally. Or what? No, you must be all right.
You don't have to be a horse to be a jockey or something like that.
Does that make sense? I'll let it go.
No, I don't think it does.
It doesn't make sense. But there you go, yeah. I'm always interested to see what Japanese kids want to do. When I was a teacher, like most of the students I taught didn't know what they wanted to do. The most common job, and often like we often did exercises where they had to sort of write down their future dream. When I'm older, I want to do X, Y, Z. And sadly, a lot of them did always say, when I'm older, I want to be an office worker. And that's, you know, always made my heart sink a little bit. I suppose there's nothing wrong with being an office worker, but I don't know. I felt like...
Stability, mate. Stability is underrated.
I suppose it is more stable than being a YouTuber. You know, once you've... the first few years of YouTuber, pretty dicey. Speaking from personal experience.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
This week on Stakhanov.
Join the self-care club as they trial out all those January health kicks. Listen as they put themselves to the test with Couch to 5K, Dry January and loads more.
I think that evening was probably the closest you and I have ever come to having a bit of a Barney, which we didn't really have, but we nearly had one. It could have tipped into Bruegus.
And why not check out the latest episode of Between the Lines with Melissa Reddy, where Roberto Martinez reflects on the highs and lows of his managerial career and the lessons he's drawn from 14 years at the top of the game.
When you're a young coach, you almost feel that you want to answer every doubt or every question mark that there is surrounding your position and out there. And then the older that you get, you understand that you cannot stop that. It's impossible. You need to affect the headlines of tomorrow. And that's the real power of working in football and being the manager.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
And now we turn our attention to the fax machine. What have we got this week in the fax machine, Mr. Donaldson?
We've got a message from Nino from Croatia. Good to hear from you, Nino. Hello, Fris and Crete. I hope you enjoyed your new year. I'd just like to say that the tiny Pete KFC bucket in the last video made my day. How much time do you usually spend setting everything up to record a video? Yes, you as well, Pete. Nevertheless, cheers for a better year, Nino from Croatia. The tiny Pete KFC bucket. What was that about?
So, if you look at the video, Why I Avoid Christmas in Japan, I'm trying to work out what moment it's at. It's somewhere in the first 5 minutes. I think it's about 5 minutes. It's a little Easter egg, so it's a little bit tricky to see. About 5 minutes 20, you can see my 1950s, 1960s Japanese-style diorama, right? The Japanese diorama, which I love so dearly on my shelf. And over Christmas, some amazing viewers from the Abroad Japan Patreon made some miniatures. So there's the the Tiny Pete KFC bucket, where your nice face is where Colonel Sanders should be. One and the same anyway. You can't really tell the difference these days.
These days,
it's all the same. And there's some other things. Like there's a bottle of sake with the For Fuck Sake logo on. There's a Family Mart fried chicken as well, and even yakitori skewers. It's so well done. It's so impressive. I highly recommend just going back to that video and checking it out, because I think most people missed it, because I didn't really see that many comments on it. Although, to be fair, most of the comments on that video were people saying, or people giving me advice on how to dispose of my asbestos bath mat, kind of overshadowed the Pete KFC bucket, which I feel is rather unfortunate. We'll have to definitely find a way to include your precious bucket in future episodes. Were you impressed, Pete?
I was very impressed. It's an adorable little bit of fried chicken bucket. I think I should be on everyone, full size or mini.
It's some serious craftsmanship. Yeah, I was really impressed. I love my miniature stuff. I'm hoping to do some more miniature, get some more dioramas for this year, so I can build a little like Japanese village on the shelf behind me when I'm presenting, and use a green screen. Like I bought a green screen for the video Why I Don't Watch Japanese TV last year, right? So I could put myself in the 1960s room. But I haven't done much with it since, so I'm looking for more excuses. And I like the idea of like using the green screen to superimpose myself into the 1960s room again. And this time I'll be like eating the KFC bucket with your face on it. I think that could be a lot of fun.
Albeit
a little bit of a technical challenge. We've got one here from Ladislav from Slovakia. He says, hello, Chris and Pete. I was watching the New Year's Trash Taste podcast episode, which had Chris in it, and I got to the section where he talked about Japanese work culture and how they take less vacation than they are allotted, so they don't look lazy in the eyes of their colleagues and bosses. I know that neither of you had had experiences in multiple Japanese companies to compare, but have you heard whether in general they do get compensated for the extra work time that they spend in their jobs daily, or for the unused vacation days that they never take? Or do they just not accept it because it wouldn't be fair to get paid for something that should be a normal part of the work routine in Japan? Keep up the good work. I don't listen to the podcast as soon as it comes out, but once per week when I make my shopping rounds, it's a good companion through my walks there and back. Greetings, Ladislav from Slovakia. I quite a few listeners do that, actually. If I ever listen to this podcast, I usually binge the two episodes back to back while I'm down the gym. That's what I did last year. I'm a binge person. I usually wait for like the whole series to come out. People just getting into the podcast, they've got 200 bloody episodes to work their way through, and yet somehow people still do it. They like message us, you guys message us every week saying, oh, I've just gone through 200 episodes. Yeah. I don't know how I
managed
it
in a month or something.
It's crazy, but I suppose with the old lockdown, it's a good way to kill time and have a bit of fun. On the subject of Japanese companies, from my experience, from my friends who I've spoken to, they don't really get compensated for extra work time unless it's a foreign company in Japan. And my advice is usually, if you're coming to work to Japan to work, try and get a job in a foreign run company because it uses the Western style of management, which I must say is a lot more humane and good for living, like much better way of living, better quality of life. Japanese companies can be a little bit ruthless. That's an understatement, actually. They can be very ruthless when it comes to that sort of work culture, and I certainly would not want to do it myself. I was terrified when I reached the end of my time as a teacher, and I was looking like I was going to have to move to Tokyo and kind of get into that lifestyle. And I was very lucky that I was lucky on the one hand, abroad in Japan had taken off, and I think I took the plunge. I thought I'd rather just take the plunge and risk it all as opposed to work in a Japanese company. But be advised, if you're coming here to work, do your homework on the company because you might not get paid for that extra overtime you take, which just seems unthinkable, doesn't it? Especially coming from the UK, where I remember when I used to work overtime, I'd make it very clear to my boss, I wanted the money. Give me the money. I'd throw my timesheet in their face until I got the money. What do you reckon, Pete? What do you make of
they put a lot of there's a lot of public holidays in Japan, isn't there? And that is genuinely just to make sure that the Japanese are taking enough time off, because obviously they talk about the incredible work ethic they got and the overworking and stuff like that. But the reason why there are so many national holidays in Japan is certainly because of overworking and the fact that Japanese will work, you know, 6 days, 7 days a week if they're allowed to. I know Microsoft installed a 4-day working week, I think, last year or the year before. I'm getting used to seeing last year being 2020. It was actually
I made that 2019, mistake,
yeah. It's crazy. They did a 4-day working week, and I think productivity went up 40%. Incredible.
That's phenomenal. Hopefully it'll be the way things go. I mean, certainly at the moment, because the Tokyo area is on lockdown, which is a topic we've tried to steer away from because nobody, I think we're all so fed up of COVID, but Tokyo's on a kind of a lockdown, not a lockdown, but an emergency situation, in big quotation marks. Basically, they're just advising people to work from home where possible and not go out after 8 p.m. And they're advising restaurants to shut down from 8 p.m. Many of them don't obey that, and many people just don't care, to be honest. Hopefully that might change. We're seeing a lot of people take workation holidays and work at the office, and certain companies in Japan have actually kind of swiveled to using that as their kind of model, actually getting their employees to not come into the office. So we'll see where that goes. I can't say I'm overly optimistic, though. I feel like that sort of work culture is very much entrenched in Japanese culture, and it's not going to change anytime soon, pandemic or no pandemic. We've got one from Rohan. Over to you, Pete. I'll let you handle
Rohan. We got a message from Rohan saying, hi, Chris and Pete. I enjoyed the podcast. I saw the word coolish and I just said podcast. As I enjoy this pack of coolish, I wanted to start off by saying how much I enjoy the podcast, Instagram and YouTube channels. Your podcast made my weekly flights between Dubai and Kuwait much more tolerable back when travel was still possible. I'd love to go to Kuwait. Being someone who travels to Japan every year, not being able to visit in 2020 really sucked, but the videos and enjoy journey across Japan made it somewhat better. Something I've been curious about is the degree to which people discuss politics in daily life. A large chunk of my conversations with friends and co-workers centre around politics, local, American, Brexit, etc. Is it the same in Japan? And to what extent do newspapers objectively comment on political events? Do they try and sugarcoat things to help politicians save face? Have there been any interesting political scandals of late? Once again, thank you very much for the great work, and looking forward to more. A journey across Shikoku, perhaps. That was from Rohan. Great email.
I mean, that's a good question. We generally, people here generally steer away from politics. It's frequently in the news, but because Japan doesn't have the most free press in the world, if you look at the freedom of the press index, Japan's actually quite low down. Ever since former Prime Minister Shinzo Abe replaced the head of the NHK with his mate, Boris Johnson replacing the head of the BBC with his mate, like putting Dominic Cummings in charge, essentially. But Shinzo Abe, who's now gone and been replaced by Yoshihide Suga, he had a scandal, and his wife had a scandal involving his wife had a scandal in Osaka, I believe, where she worked with a school to get some land at a low price, and then it looked a bit dodgy, like she had pulled some strings to get the land sold to the school at a cheaper price than it should have been. And he got in trouble for having some sort of garden party where he might have not used expenses correctly. I'm not up to speed on the situation. I can't say I'm overly interested on it. But what I will say is politics in Japan, it's really not as divisive as the US or the UK has been. And in many ways, I kind of like that. It's nice to steer clear of it all and not have that environment. I think people in Japan feel like it's something outside their control. And that is why they have those really annoying trucks, the speaker trucks that I've whinged about in the past. Whenever someone's up for re-election, whether it's a prime minister or a local politician, they'll have a truck that will drive down the streets blaring out, vote for Yoshihide Suga, vote for Takeshi Steve. And they'll do that, and it'll drive up the bloody wall, and it'll do it day and night, and I hate it. But that's because the voter turnout here is pretty low, I think, compared to other Western democracies. So, people really don't care about politics much in Japan, from my experience, because they feel a little bit like it's outside their control. It's not something they can do, they can deal with. And another thing, in many ways, Japan is a little bit of a one-party state. The LDP, who have clung to power for most of the last 60 years, most of the post-war era, they've run the country effectively. I think the Democratic Party had a small time in power in the mid-2000s, but they lost it because they had about three or four prime ministers in the space of 5 years, and everyone got really angry. It was really poorly done. They had one chance, they blew it, and the LDP came back to power. Japan often feels like a one-party state. They don't have that kind of push and shove that you get from the Republican Party and the Democrats or the Labour Party or the Conservatives. So for better or worse, I don't know. But yeah, it's not a topic most people talk about. I mean, you don't know much about Japanese politics, do you, Pete? It's not exactly covered in the UK at all.
Yeah, so I mean, I guess it's one of those things that the big brother, China, obviously dominates, and Xi Jinping's policies, obviously, in that area of the world, obviously dominates. Yes. So you can understand why nobody really follows Japanese politics, because in the grand scheme of things, you know, it's probably like following in the same way that the French really don't think about English Brexit that much, and English situations, political situations, even though they're a close neighbour. The French do have, there is an appetite for them leaving the EU, but they don't really understand why the British have done this, and they don't really understand why they in a country in that situation would do it. So yeah, I think if COVID and what this year has sort of taught us is that things will start becoming a little bit more insular. There was a massive opening of the world, obviously, when the dawn of the internet and social media and stuff like that. And I get the feeling that things are going to get a little bit more myopic, and we'll have to sort of see that out for the next 5 years. And then we'll be back to, understanding what's important, friendships and agreements parties getting together and reaching hands around the world.
Oh dear.
We're at the end of a very long record day, Chris. It's 11 o'clock. I've only had two coffees this morning. I need more.
Not enough coffee. What I will say is the biggest political story has been Yoshihide Suga taking over from Shinzo Abe. He was
the Crunchmaster.
The Crunchmaster. Because he's fit, old Suga. He does his press ups every morning, apparently. Yeah. But he took over from Shinzo Abe, who had, I think, if not the first, then certainly the second longest reign of any Japanese prime minister in history, or since the Second World War. So with him out of the picture, Yoshihide Suga took over, and people were kind of working out, is he going to change things? What's he going to do? He hasn't really changed much. All that's happened is he's lost his popularity very quickly because of his handling of COVID, and because COVID cases are going up across Japan, he's seen as being pretty incapable. And his current approval rating is around 40% from a high, I believe, of 74% in September. So he's, 30% approval has gone up in smoke in the space of 3 or 4 months. We'll have to see what happens. We'll have to see if he'll stick around for next year or for this year when he's up for re-election. But Japanese politics, though, people don't talk about it. And I like that. I like that very much. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back on Wednesday, guys, to do it all over again. For now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days, and we'll see you right back here to do it all over again on Wednesday. Have a good one.
Parties getting together and putting their hands across.
Go home. Get out.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.